Good morning. Amen. It's good to see everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Amen. We have a very few announcements this morning. I was just looking at our bulletin, and our bulletin is filled with names. And I would encourage you during your quiet time, your prayer time, to, if you can, call every name in prayer. Call every name if you can. I know our schedules are very busy, but if you don't call every name, just pray over those these names on the list. I thank God for prayer. Amen. Amen. That the believer has the ear of God. And I'm so glad that God hears our prayers. I also remember Pastor and Sister Jones this morning as they prepare to come back to worship with us. Pray that the Lord keeps them safe. Also, we have our October anniversaries and birthdays. On the 3rd of October, we have Gladys Mickens. On the 4th, we have Arturo and Verlicia Alzamora. Yay, amen. Constance Shaw on the 4th as well. Warren and Diana Anderson. Hey, Diane. Amen. Amen. Send our love to Brother Warren. Amen. Curtis and Monica Mizell. And Bruce and Stephanie Beck. Amen. We have a number of birthdays here. I'm not going to name them all. But we thank God for all those names present. And we pray that God will bless us with many, many more. Amen. We have a note from Sister Pat Lee. It says, just a note to say hello. And I pray that my entire Glendale family are all doing great. Also, I pray that Pastor and Sister Jones are well and enjoying a well-deserved vacation. My family here in North Florida are all doing well. Please continue to keep us in your prayers. My genuine love and appreciation for my entire Glendale family. Pat Lee, amen. Is there anyone who's visiting with us for the first time? If you are, just lift your hand. We'd like to acknowledge you. Is there anyone? Okay, amen. Looks like we're all family and friends this morning. On that note, we'll go ahead and get started with our call to worship. Our scripture this morning can be found in Psalm 57, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 57, verses 1 through 3. Please stand if you're able to. The scripture reads as follows. To the chief musician set to do not destroy, a miktam of David when he fled from Saul into the cave. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge, until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to the Lord Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. At this time, let us prepare to confess our Nicene Creed. Let us confess our creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. Believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, we're grateful this morning. We're grateful, God, because you have graced us with your presence. You have allowed us, oh God, into the sanctuary to worship your holy name. You have allowed us here, God, to receive your preached word. God, strengthen us today. God, we thank you for the vital Christian fellowship that we have privy to this morning. Thank you for the sacraments. Thank you, oh God, for prayer, for allowing us to come boldly before your throne of grace and obtain mercy in our time of need. God, it's a privilege to be here in this local assembly, in a place, oh God, where we can hear the whole counsel of God. We thank you, God, that our ears have been tickled with the gospel. And God, we receive that right now. We thank you, oh God, for the gospel. It is the only thing that can affect the rescue of the human soul. And we're grateful today. We're blessed. God, we ask you to watch over us, open our hearts and minds to all that you have to do and all that you will say in this place. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our hymn, our first hymn this morning is hymn number 6, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Responsive reading this morning can be found on number 692 in the rear of your hymnals, 692 in the rear of your hymnal, and our title this morning is God's Word. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity.
Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck.
Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. With my whole heart I have sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments altogether. Thy word I have hidden in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Amen. Our second and final hymn this morning can be found on page number 61, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. Thank you. Amen. Good morning again. Our scripture this morning can be found in Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah is the second to the last book in the Old Testament. I know some people are saying, what is that? Amen. Zechariah, just before Malachi, again, the second to the last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Again, Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And the scripture reads as follows. Everybody have it?
Yes.
Amen. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put clothes on him. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house, and likewise have charge of my courts. I will give you places to walk among these who stand here. Hear, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon the stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that day in one day. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree." Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. At this time, let us bow for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, we thank you this morning for allowing us to be here. We thank you that you are our great God and King. God, thank you for Jesus, the bread of life, the living water, he who has quenched our eternal thirst. Father, it's a privilege again to be in your presence, to be with your people. Thank you, God. You have called us together this one day in seven. We thank you, Father God, for your word that will go forth today. We ask, God, that you will speak to us, and we will know that we have been spoken to. God, we thank you again for all of your blessings. You've given us food, clothing, and shelter, Father God. You've given us more than enough. You have supplied all of our needs. You are a wonderful Father and God. We thank you, O Father God, that you will enable us, Father God, to live holy lives, to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I pray, O God, that our words will be seasoned with grace, that we will love our neighbor and we will forgive our neighbor, Father God, and our fellow believers, God, that we will share with those who are in need, that we will pray for one another, Father God, and we will inquire of each other. We thank you, O God, for the body of Christ, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that you watch over us day and night, that he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. Thank you, God, for caring for us. Your word says that you care for us, Father God, that we can put our burdens on you, Father God. We thank you today, Lord, for allowing us, Father God, the freedoms that you have given us in Christ. We stand in grace this morning. We are recipients, Father God, of your mercy today, Father God. And we're grateful today. Thank you, God, for these, your people, Father God. The prayer requests are many. The bulletin are filled with requests, Father God. And you know all of them. Father, we ask today that you would meet all of them in the name of Jesus. Meet all of them at the point of their need. We have brothers and sisters, God, who are sick and shut in, Lord. Heal their broken bodies. Caregivers, Father God, those who have lost loved ones, God. Again, Father God, wrap your loving arms around us, Father God, and give us the strength that we need. We thank you, God, today for peace. The peace that passes all understanding, Father God. In a turbulent world, living in the last days, Father God, we're thankful today that you are a very present help in a time of trouble. We thank you, Father God, that we can lean upon you, for you are our strong tower. Lord, shine your face down upon us today, Lord. Help us. Oh, Father God, you know our frames. You know that we are weak. God, we thank you for pitying us. Sometimes, Father God, we wander, Father God, and we roam. Our thoughts are on many things, and we're in places that we shouldn't be, Father God. But, Lord, we ask that for your help today. You know that we are weak, Father God, and we cry out, oh, God, that you would help us. And so, God, we thank you this morning for who you are and all your blessings, Father God. We thank you again for these, your people. We ask you to remember Pastor and Sister Jones in their absence, Father God. Strengthen them and keep them. Bring them back to us safely, Father. We thank you, God, for this brief time that you have called us together. We ask you, God, to remember our nation, Father, the men and women who rule over us, the men and women who defend our shores. We thank you, Father God, for your blessings. We do love you, and we thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please turn with me again in your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 3. Again, I will be reading verses 1 through 10. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Our scripture reads as follows. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put clothes on him. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house, and likewise have charge of my courts. I will give you places to walk among these who stand here. Hear, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon the stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. And that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree." Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Bow with me in a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, we thank you for this preaching moment. This time you called us together, O God, to hear your word. I pray, Father God, that you would hide me behind the shadow of the cross. I pray that our hearts and our ears will be open and attentive to all that you have to say through this preached word. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. How can sinners like you and me serve a holy God? The Jews to whom Zechariah ministered felt the sting of that question. They had just returned from a Babylonian captivity, which had taken place because of the nation's gross and unrepentant sins. So now a remnant is back in the land, attempting to reestablish and rebuild the temple in the worship of God. But there's a problem. The past continued to haunt them. What do you do when you try to serve God and your conscience tells you you will never serve God because of what you did in the past? How many of us are waiting to get our life right and then we'll serve God, but not now? Many of us are still holding on to the past and what happened, afraid to move forward because we feel that we're locked down by something we did a long time ago. So the question that confronts all of God's people is, how can a sinner such as I serve a holy God? Before I delve into the text, we need to understand that the proper interpretation of Zechariah 3 is national and prophetic in scope. National as it is to national Israel, and prophetic, it is also a word in the future. The Lord gives Zechariah a series of visions. In fact, he gives Zechariah 8 visions. And he gives them these visions in one single night, that gives a panoramic view of God dealing with his people from that day until the end times. How can a sinner serve a holy God? Well, Zechariah answers that question in our text today in his fourth vision. It showed the returned remnant that God would cleanse the nation and restore them as a priestly people before him. He would remove their defilement so that they could serve him again. This vision that Zechariah had is designed to give hope and encouragement to God's chosen people. The vision had an immediate application to the people who were rebuilding the temple to show them that they were not laboring in vain. But it also applies to us who are seeking to build God's living temple, the church. In fact, Paul alludes to that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. I'm going to read that if you don't mind. Again, that's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 through 22. And the scripture reads as follows. It says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So in our message today, we will see that God cleanses sinners through Christ on the basis of grace, and then he uses them to serve him. So what we're looking at here, we have here a judicial scene, a courtroom setting. Joshua, the high priest, represents man before God. In fact, what happens here represents all those who would stand before God. Every soul that is saved by grace, that is justified by this gracious act of God. Here in verse 1, Joshua is standing before the angel of the Lord. The phrase standing for has the idea of priestly service. Joshua is serving God as a high priest, and he's serving before the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord is an Old Testament reference of the pre-incarnate Christ. Joshua wasn't in God's presence as a spectator. Joshua was very much a participator. He was a ministering priest in the presence of the Lord. Also in verse 1, the scripture says that Satan is standing at his right hand to oppose him. So we have the pre-incarnate Christ in this vision and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Satan literally means adversary or opponent. He stands against God's people in every spiritual battle. Satan is the accuser of God to us and the accuser of us to God. Satan hated this whole scene. He hates it when God's people come into his presence, when we come into the presence of the Lord. He hates it when we come into God's presence to serve and honor him. In this judicial scene, Joshua stands condemned before the bar by Satan, the prosecutor. The accusations are not mentioned, but they are inferred in verse 3, that Joshua was clothed in filthy garments and he stood before the angel. We don't know what Satan said. We're not told. But Joshua is standing in filth and defilement. And Satan is arguing that he has no right to be here. Look at him. He's filthy. He is unfit to be in your presence. The Hebrew word for filthy literally means excrement covered. Joshua is covered in poop. He's satiated with feces. But let me give you a better picture. A farmer working in the barn all day, and his job is to shovel manure. And his overalls are covered in animal manure, vomit, and urine. And then, without bathing, he walks into a church service. Before he even hits the door, you smell him, and everybody covers their nose. That's how Joshua appeared before God in this vision. Disgusting, detestable, foul. Remember, Joshua represents God's people. And I know we look good now. And we look good Monday through Friday when we go to work. But please understand, according to Jeremiah, our hearts are wicked. God wants us to know that you may look good and feel good, but you are detestable and disgusting in my presence. So here we have Joshua dressed in the evidence of his own righteousness. He's dressed in the evidence of his own works. And we have the audacity to say, may the works that I've done speak for me. Some may ask, why didn't he just put on a clean robe when he ministered before the Lord? Well, perhaps he did. I mean, you would think so, right? But what looks clean to men on earth didn't look so clean in the presence of a holy God. If you've ever seen the Emmys, the Grammys, or the Oscars, you see celebrities parading down the red carpet, and usually someone who interviews them will put a microphone in their face, and what do they ask? What are you wearing? And you will hear a number of names: Gucci, Prada, Marc Jacobs, Versace. You will hear a number of names, and many of these people spend tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands on their dresses and gowns. And you couldn't tell them one second that they're not clean. But what looks clean to men on earth didn't look so clean in the presence of a holy God. Our deeds may seem adequate, but in the sight of our righteousness, it's a filthy rag. According to Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, our righteousness is a filthy rag in the presence of God. In other words, the word filthy rag right there means a soiled menstrual rag. You look through our scripture, God wants us to understand our condition. He wants us to understand that you didn't just wake up and become the belle of the ball, the apple of his eye. He wants us to see our sin-stained condition. If we come before God on the basis of any human merit, on the fact that we're good or worthy, we're doomed from the start. We have nothing to offer God except filthy, excrement-covered deeds. It is a picture of the very best that man can do. It is the best that a sinner is. And then in verse 2 it says, and the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? God defended Joshua on the basis of his sovereign election. It is God who chooses. He did not choose Joshua. It's not because he was good and he deserved it. The Lord does not rebuke Satan pointing to Joshua's best qualities or his good deeds, for he had none. His righteousness was tainted. Instead, the Lord rebukes rebukes the devil on the basis of something the devil cannot contend against. God points to his sovereign choice of Israel. Jerusalem, which stands for Israel, is mentioned rather than Joshua because he represents the nation in this vision. But clearly, God's sovereign choice of the nation included specific individuals in Israel. And so Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 3, verse 11, where he says, there is none who seeks after God. Ain't nobody looking for God. I don't care how holy you think you are. Nobody's looking for God. If salvation was made available to everybody, nobody would have it because nobody wants it. Ain't nobody looking for God. We want to continue doing whatever we were doing. If God doesn't come get us, Lord have mercy. We are 10,000 times in our sin if he doesn't come get us. And I know you sweet and quiet on the outside, but oh God on the inside, Lord help us. And John chimes in John 15 and verse 16, where he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Keep believing this lie that, you know what, man, I got tired, I'm going to get saved. If you got tired, you didn't get tired of your own. It was the Spirit who drew you in. It is God who chooses. The Lord says of Joshua, is this not a brand plucked from the fire? God snatched Israel from complete destruction and captivity, like pulling a stick out of the fire before it's consumed. A brand out of the fire. Truth be told, the Father has snatched all of us from the fires of hell. Come on, somebody. Some of us still smelling like smoke. It is God who has saved us from his wrath. He has extinguished his own wrath with the blood of Jesus. There was no way we could stand up to the wrath of God. So the Savior came. Millions didn't make it, but I was one of the ones who did. And so we see in verses 4 and 5 that God not only removes Joshua's sin, but he clothes him in clean garments. The Lord commands those standing before him to remove the filthy garments from him and clothe him in rich robes. I like the sound of that. Put some rich robes on him. And the phrase means festive, because we're getting ready to celebrate. Take those dirty garments off of him and put rich robes on him. And that is reason enough to celebrate. And then he adds in verse 5, he says, put a clean turban on his head. This refers to the linen turban the priest wore that had a gold plate on the front with this inscription, the holiness of God. And so this scene is a picture when God cleanses a sinner. He not only takes away his sin, but he also imputes to him the righteousness of Christ. That's what we call the great exchange. God takes away our sins and he gives us his righteousness. We can't pay for it. You can't sneak into that. You can't hustle your way into that. We have been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. We stand before God, not in our own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Christ. It's not a lifelong process of God infusing enough righteousness into us that we will eventually qualify for heaven. No, that's some Catholic churches. That sounds like purgatory to me. It's going to take some time where he got to infuse righteousness into you and you got to wait. No. But it is a judicial decision that takes place immediately. As we see with Joshua, we have been justified. We have been declared righteous by a holy God. God justifies guilty sinners by grace alone, in Christ alone. Our good deeds have nothing to do with it. Then in verses 6 and 7, we see God's message to Joshua, the high priest. He says, if you will walk in my ways and if you will keep my commands, the angel of the Lord, who is Christ, admonishes Joshua. He promised in the name of sovereign Yahweh that if Joshua obeyed the Lord and served him, that Joshua would govern the temple and have charge of the temple courts and enjoy free access into the Lord's presence. He could come into the Lord's presence like the angels who stood before him. Then in verse 7, he says, I will give you places to walk among those who stand here. God promised Joshua privileged access into God's presence. Now, this wasn't surprising for a priest, because we also have this same promise in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, where the scripture says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Pray bold prayers, brothers and sisters. You can come boldly before God. Pray bold prayers. We have a privileged access into the presence of the Lord. And thank God for Jesus, who tore away the middle wall of partition, and now you and me have free access to the Father. We don't have to go through a priest. You can go boldly to God right now. We are living in the new covenant. And so then in verses 8 through 10, we see a prophetic message of the Messiah and his reign. In verse 8, where it says the wondrous sign is a companion of priests sitting before Joshua and were symbols of future Israel, foreshadowing a coming Messiah. He says in verse 8, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch, which is a Christ type. The term servant branch is used several times for the title of the Messiah. The branch is associated with a fruitful life. Jesus used the same image when he said that he was the vine and we are the branches in John chapter 15. And then in verse 9, if a branch seems weak, and it shouldn't, then God gives us another picture. For some, the Lamb of God seems weak. But the Lamb of God is Jesus. But if the branch seems weak, he gives us another picture. It says, for behold, the stone I have laid before Joshua, a stone with seven eyes. In the thinking of the ancient world, eyes represented knowledge. The seven eyes speak of perfection and fullness, the fullness of the knowledge and wisdom of the Messiah. Then keeping in verse 9, he says, I will engrave its inscription. Early Christians saw engraving on the stones to be a picture of Jesus' wounds, attesting to the divine architect. Also in verse 9, we see the removal of iniquity of the land in one day, which symbolizes the removal of the filthy garments that Joshua had on in verse 4. And so this phrase looks to the future, when there will be a cleansing and forgiveness for the nation as a whole, made possible by the redemptive work of Christ. And so verse 10 is an expression of prosperity and peace. Everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree. Ultimately, this is the peace that the reign of the Messiah will bring. The vision and word from Zechariah show just how much God wanted to encourage and strengthen Joshua. And he did it in the best way, by setting his eyes on Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. The cleansing of Joshua is symbolic of God cleansing his people. The cleansing takes place through God's servant, the branch, a definite type of Christ. Today, Jesus Christ, our Savior, is cleansing his spiritual Israel, the church. How can defiled sinners serve a holy God? God removes our sin, our own filthy righteousness, our own works, and then he clothes us in rich robes, which is his righteousness. We are clothed with the righteousness of another, an alien righteousness not from this world. And that righteousness allows us to stand in the presence of God. That righteousness makes us acceptable to God. But he doesn't stop there. He puts a turban on our heads with the inscription, "Holiness to the Lord." We are brands snatched from the fire. It is a blessing to know that I was almost lost, but he saved me. There are a whole lot of people won't make it out of the fire. I don't know who they are. All I know is that I have been saved, and because I have been saved, and I got to go tell somebody about this Savior. We are brands plucked from the fire before we were consumed. We have family members and friends still living lives apart from Christ. They have no idea where they're headed to. And in these last and evil days, brothers and sisters, I encourage you to be a witness and tell somebody about the goodness of our Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you today that we have been chosen before the foundation of the world. It was no good that we have done, but God, you called and you chose us. And so, God, we say thank you this morning. We have always been yours, standing in the filth of our own righteousness. We had no way to escape. We needed a Savior. And you descended to the depth of planet Earth. And you rescued us from a burning pit of hell. And so, God, we give you praise for that today. We celebrate you and say thank you. And, God, we ask today, Lord, that you will provide opportunities for us to be a witness for you, to be a bright, shining light in this dark world. Oh, God, we lift you up. We give you praise and say thank you. Thank you, oh, God, for these, your people. Thank you for our gifts and talents, Father God. Thank you for what we mean to the body of Christ. Thank you, God, that we are the apple of your eye. Thank you, Father God, that your ears are always open to our prayers. Thank you, Lord, that your eyes are always on us. Oh, God, watch over us. Keep us today. We thank you for this brief moment in history that you have given us. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Please stand for our benediction. Let us receive our benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be majesty, dominion, and power both now and forever. Amen. Hey.